Today what tomorrow may bring, if shadow or sunshine or rain. The Lord I know ruleth for everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all hearts and sheltering on, I'm living by faith. Obscuring the brightness of light, I never on more deadly overcast sky. The Master looks on at the strife, living by faith in Jesus the Son, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all hearts in sheltering arms, I'm living by faith and feel no alarm. On the last, please smile. Here we go. Our Lord will return to this earth some sweet day. Our troubles will then all be o'er. The Master so gently will lead us away beyond deathless heavenly shore. Living by faith in Jesus above, trusting, confiding in His great love. From all hearts
one, your hymnal, please, to 154. The new name is Lord.
I was once a sinner, but I came, pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. Down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white throned angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. For there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. Heaven's been forgiven, I am bound for heaven. But God's angry frown, with the heavens open, and I saw that my name was written down. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine, oh yes, it's mine. And the white throned angels sing the story, a sinner has come home. Mine, oh yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, nevermore to roam. In the books it's written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. my sin forgiven, I am bound for heaven evermore to roam.
I wonder if I was leading the singing tonight. I feel led the Lord to do this. If you have a prayer request that is on your mind or on your heart, something you're burdened about, something you're concerned about, please raise your hand and make that prayer request known at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Bob Gary in just a minute to lead us in prayer once again. Anybody have any prayer requests? Michael, all right. Ruby? Unsaved relatives. Pray for Ruby Wells' conditions physically. Two brothers, anybody else? Scott? Okay, one of our brothers in Christ, pastor in this area, Sister Hicks. Sister-in-law, okay. All right, I just felt that somebody had burdens tonight. Sister Blanche? Okay. Anybody else? Sister Owens? Okay. Spiritual needs of her family, anybody else? Brother Kelly? People need the Lord. Is it Lori? Amen. Anybody else? This is your opportunity. Unspoken? How many unspokens do we have? All right. Much to pray for. God's able to answer prayer. And we want to ask Brother Bob Gary if you'll please lead us in prayer, remembering these requests. Amen. Thank you, Brother Bob. Turn your hymnal, please, in the front cover, My Savior's Love. Sing the first, second, and last stanza of My Savior's Love. Let's all stand, please. My Savior's Love. The front cover.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love.
Comfort, some glory for me. Calvary suffered misery untold. He cared that much for my soul. His spirit convicted, made me believe. It saved me for him I call. Now in him I'm happy, in his love I cleave. Without him I'm nothing at all. Then Jesus left heaven for me. He left the comforts of glory for me. At Calvary suffered misery untold. For me, he left the comforts of glory for me. At Calvary he suffered misery untold. He cared that much for my soul.
Thankful, the Lord is so good to us. And the next song we'd like to sing is The Only Real Peace. And He is the only real peace. You pray for us as we sing. This week, and I've been having to fill in for her, and a lot of times I think there's no way I'm going to be able to get this done. I don't understand what I'm doing, and you know, a lot of times we forget that God's there to help us. And Monday morning when I went to work, I prayed. I said, Lord, just take care of me this week and help me to do. You know, a lot of times we take things for granted, and we don't want to go to God for these small things. But I asked him that morning. And I put a piece of paper in the typewriter, and I typed something, and then later I had to go back and correct something. And usually when you put a piece of paper back in and try to correct it, there's no way you can get it perfect. And I went, and it was perfect. And you know, I said, Lord, thank you. You can help me in just a little thing. And I'm so glad that he's the peace that I can have in this world. And this song has always meant a lot to me. But don't listen to the way I sing it, but to the words. And it can be it can really bring you closer to God if you just listen to the peace that God can give you.
Life is a few days of trouble, a wise man once said, but I'll not complain, for I'm sheltered I'm clothed and I'm fed. But many's the trials my wants in my dreams put me through, and the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. Sometimes I've wondered if dreams are worth dreaming at all. But my disappointment can't keep me blinded and blue. Not when I of the sweet peace I have, Lord, in you.
The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you.
That day when I make up my jewels, and I'll spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Now, notice the context of that verse. It's dealing with jewels. And that day when I make up my jewels. Now, if you will, notice Matthew chapter 13, verse 45 and verse 46. Matthew chapter 13. The Bible said again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Let's read it again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Notice the context of those two verses is the pearl. I want to bring you a message tonight on the pearls and the jewels of God. Lord, I ask you to bless tonight. Bless the message. I pray you'd apply it to every heart. And God, that it'd be a blessing. Lord, it'd be a lodging place in our hearts tonight. It'd be even as simple as a fool or a wayfaring man, but not err therein. We'd see precious boys and girls and young men and young ladies, mothers and dads, grandmothers and granddads, draw close to thee. Lord, save that sinner that's nearest hell. Now I pray you'd mend the broken heart, pick up the pieces and put them back together. Let somebody find a refuge, a shelter, hiding place tonight. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible tells us tonight about in that day when I'll make up my jewels. And the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 13 about the kingdom of heaven likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And that pearl of great price. Now I want to establish a couple of facts here. On the first thing, I want to talk to you about the precious pearl. Now, this pearl that's mentioned here, it's not Jesus. It's not the Lord Jesus. This pearl has a beginning. Jesus has no beginning or no end. This pearl is created by Jesus, the Creator. This pearl in this parable was bought with a price. Jesus could never be bought with a price. And all the silver and gold and copper of this world could never buy you a split second in heaven, beloved. But I want to show you three things about these pearls and these gems and these jewels tonight. And any kind of jewelry business or any kind of pearl business, there's a finding and a mining and a shining that goes to jewelry. And let me show you something about the finding of the pearls or the jewels. The pearl, if it's not Jesus here in this chapter, the pearls must imitate, or the pearls must simulate, or the pearls must guide and show us and represent the souls of men tonight. The pearls represent the soul of man in several different ways. First of all, the pearls have a humble origin. I mean, their beginning is very simple. It's not hard. It's not some great thing that can't be understood. But a pearl has a humble beginning. It's a simple. It's one child can understand it. The pearl comes from a humble origin. It comes from the bottom of the sea. It comes from a place where unclean fish are. Isn't that kind of the way our beginning is? We're born shapen in iniquity. Our lives was born in sin. Our mother had conceived us and bring us in this world. We have kind of a humble origin, wouldn't you say? Not only that, the pearl's a product of a wound. When the shell's been broken or wounded, a grain of sand enters into that shell. And by that wound and by that brokenness of that shell, that grain of sand enters into that shell. And when it does, that cell begins a process, a crying period of time. That cell will have a weeping moisture to it. And when that cell begins to weep and wet and moisturize itself, what it does is that moisture, that liquid substance, it covers that grain of sand. And within doing that process of time, that liquid covers it, and covers it, and it gradually, it forms itself into a pearl. One day, almost 2,000 years ago, on Calvary's tree, there was a man wounded. That side was opened up, and out of that flow, beloved, it covered the soul of man. And by that covering, and by that atonement, the soul becomes a precious pearl. I like something else about that pearl. It's formed in secret. I like that. Nobody can see what's going on in the shell when the pearl's being born. It's God in secret. Nobody can see it, and nobody understands it. That's the way God is when He changes your life, when He saves your soul, and nobody can see it. Nobody understands it, but you and God know that something's happened. That's exactly the way it is with a pearl. And I like this. The hand of man has nothing to do with shaping a pearl. The hand of man has nothing to do with it. Listen, beloved, as I studied this today and prepared to preach tonight, I thought about how that people wrote me off 12 years ago. The law wrote me off and said he's hopeless, he's helpless. My daddy said I've gone far as I can go with him. My mother said I'll pray, but I'm almost at the point of breaking up and giving up. I don't know what to do with him. But oh, one night 12 years ago, an old town revival meeting, and the preacher couldn't tell it, and the science didn't know what was going on, but God reached in my soul and arrested my heart and saved me and made a pearl out of my life. Oh, hallelujah. That's enough to make you city folks want to shout. And the man has nothing to do with it. I like this. The pearl has a glorious future. The pearl has a glorious future. Pearl was not born to stay in the sea. The pearl was not born to stay at the bottom of the ocean. But the pearl had a glorious future to be the ring of some prince, to be the decoration of some queen, to be the crown of some king. It has a glorious future, and so does the church of God tonight. We've got a glorious future where God purchased us with his own blood, beloved, and the worst is happening here, but the best is yet to come. We've got a glorious future. Listen tonight, I'm a country boy on the way to city. I remember a while back flying into Los Angeles. It was Saturday night, around 9 o'clock. I'd never seen such a city in my life. I'd never seen a city of that statue. As I flew in there that night, the lights was just miles and miles, as far as you can see, was the lights of that city. It was just like daylight almost. And the man sitting beside me, he said, "Son, have you ever seen anything like this?" He was a gambler and a broker there in L.A. And I said, "Sir, I've never seen nothing like this. But, brother, just wait till you see my heavenly city. Wait till God lands me on the other shore. There'll be no CPL there. There'll be no Florida Power and Light. There'll be no Alabama Power and Light. But the Lamb of God will be the Lord of that city. And that day, beloved, God will show us the glorious future of the church. Its purity, preciousness, pricelessness. Brother, it also represents proof that there's something down there worth going and looking.
one pearl off the bottom of the deck of the ocean, off that deep floor where I know men have traveled. Just one majestic pearl that can be destroyed. It'll prove that it's worth the trip and the money and whatever it costs to go and get it. Brings me to my next subject. When we find out in the finding of these that they're in darkness, bottom of the ocean, mines of Africa, behold the greatest diamonds that's ever been displayed in the dark, dreary, and dusty, and dry places where man doesn't want to go, where nobody travels through. I mean men and treasure hunters and merchant men. They found great treasures in those kind of places. Darkness. They're defiled. They're dead. The Bible said he hath quickened us who were dead in our trespasses of sin. That's the pearl. Could we take a moment or two and look at the merchant? I really like him. Now, that's the finding. Let's look at the mining. The mining of the pearls and the jewels. The merchant man, what would make a man leave his home? Take all his finances. Take all his substances. Take everything he's worked for and labored for and laid on the line and go on a journey in search of a pearl or a jewel. What would make a man do that? Why? The merchant man, the one I'm talking about, his only business, that's the only business he's interested in. He gave all that he had for soul. This merchant man, he lit up the splendors of heaven. He got up, stepped on, rolled back the curtain of time, stepped on the elevator of eternity, and said, next stop, Mary's womb in a stable in Bethlehem. And there, through that virgin's womb, that merchant man entered into this world, beloved. And that should be our priority tonight. It pricks my heart when I hear me and Major on the mic. We lose our weeping burden for people that's died and gone to hell. Brother, we're out of business. God, to break my heart. God, don't never let my eyes dry up. Said a while back, I was preaching a message in Texas, and the pastor's wife walked up. She's a kind, godly woman. But she struck my heart. She said, Brother Danny, have you always been a crybaby? Didn't you? I begged God and stayed on my face. And God would let my eyes stay moist. And God would let me weep and cry and beg sons and daughters to not go to hell. We've got too much a hot head and cool heart. Well, we need a cool head and a warm heart, beloved. God knows we need in this world to be called one of the pearls of God. This merchant man, his only business is souls. This merchant man knows the price of a soul. He knows the price. They never slipped upon the Lord. He came and died at Calvary. He knowed he was taking sin in his body, that he had never come in. The sinless one became sin for me and you, despising the shame, hating the reproach. But he tailed his sins, our sins, to the cross of Calvary. He became a dope addict for the dope addict. He became a harlot for the harlot. He became a liar for the liar. He became a thief. He became a whoremonger for the whoremonger. Why? He knows somewhere in 1986 that some young man would need a Savior. He knows that some young would need the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. He knows some mom or somebody would have to be saved by the grace of God, and they'd be guilt and condemnation upon them. But thanks be to God and the Lamb of Calvary, he's paid the price. The ransom's been paid, and the merchant man seeking goodly pearls tonight. Not only did he know the price of a soul, but this merchant man I'm talking about, I'll pay it. I'll pay it. This merchant man did, but this merchant man, he enjoyed it. He delighted in it. was preaching a while back and out west, and I preached about 2 weeks straight. Now I'm honest, I was tired, Brother Riggs. I'd get mad. I'd sung and preached sometimes twice a day. And I've been going almost 2 weeks, ready to go home in my last service. The devil just seemed to slip up on me, and he said, "Now, let up a little bit tonight. It's your last meeting. They done booked you back next year, and everything's been good. About 11 people's got right with God, so just let up a little now and then to save your voice." I got in the pulpit that night, really. I was going to kind of teach a little bit. And then as I read my text, seemed like God just breathed on me. He said, "Preach again, son." With the Lord, I will. The presence of God, He knows me. And He said, "Boy, preach again. I'll tell them about my amazing grace." Nobody didn't run these folks off from no church. They wasn't nobody else's church member. They're down their back, dirty and grimy. Too light cleaned up before we go to straighten up the outside. Here, man, we've got to have a heart transaction before the outside can change, beloved. It's just a healer, man, which deals with a shiny emery cloth. He puts that pearl and rub in the side. See, we know some and deliver some. But that dealer, man, he develops. He takes some and shines. He's making mistakes. I can't seem to get a handle on them yet. He'll polish you and shine you and prepare you and develop you. But you know what our problem is? Through the judgment seat of Christ, when he discovered us and he delivered us, now everything's just as good as it could be when you feel like you're playing on you. It echoes off of that black, dark pitch cloth. And them jewels and pearls just shine. God's treasure chest to be discovered and delivered by that merchant man. Now touch your life, you'll never be the same. Find that my life starts developing. Mother, Dad, I wonder if you slip that hand up right before we pray. Would you raise that hand and take it back down? I've been saved. I know I have. Which I'm not the kind of mother I ought to be. I'm not sitting laboring in the vineyard. Well, Daddy, I'm cold as a wedge. I don't enjoy singing. My life is a fruitless life. Preacher, I'd be mother, dad, would you? Which I'm not worthy to be with God. I know. Even prepare to move, even if we're praying. Lord, I pray that you give them enough grace. God better have enough grit about them.
Just as I am without one, such as I could, why she is for me, and that thou be. Come, Gideon, of God. because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. As I am without one, but that thy blood washes for me, and that thou mayest become
invitation just for them. We're going to sing one other verse. You work in their heart. we pray that they'd be obedient to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One other verse.
Just as I am and ready.
This is for you.
Here is my soul.
You'll have time. Remember this young man? That's worth it all, isn't it? What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul? What shall he give in exchange for his soul? Folks, there's nothing that's worth you dying and going to hell. I'll sing one other verse. You say, why? You said that was the last. God said, sing one more. Hey, this is for you. I'd stay here all night if I could see another one saved. A lot of times we get in too big a hurry. I want Brother Kenneth to sing that same song. One other verse. This is for you.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, we'll welcome forth thine clean.
Need to come
because thy promise, thy belief, O Lord, of God I come.
Thank you, Brother Kenneth. Let's bow our heads and be dismissed. Remember now these services and come back and be with us. Brother Wallace, you dismiss the word of prayer.